Imagine you get promoted today.
Okay, congratulations to me.
Right. You switch desks, you get a nice little pay bump, you meet your new team, but you still have the digital keys to your old department's highly sensitive payroll data.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's really not. I mean, in a 50-person startup, maybe that's just a sloppy oversight, you know?
Oh.
But in a 50,000-person global bank, that is a multi-million-dollar data breach just completely waiting to happen.
Simply because someone forgot to uncheck a box.
Exactly. All because nobody remembered to revoke your old permissions. So today we are looking at this massive, largely hidden engine of the modern tech economy that actually prevents those exact disasters.
Yeah, the stuff working behind the scenes.
Right. We have a pretty fascinating stack of research in front of us today, anchored by a comprehensive 2026 career and industry guide from SailPoint Masters. They're a specialized institute based over in Hyderabad.
It's a great source.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, for anyone listening, looking through these sources, it completely flips the script on what the actual tech gold rush of 2026 really looks like.
It does. It's a totally different landscape than what all the big headlines suggest. I mean, if you ask people right now about the future of tech careers, you know, the immediate answers are always generative AI, machine learning.
Right, advanced hardware, quantum computing, all that flashy stuff.
Exactly. But underneath all of that flashy consumer tech, there is this incredibly lucrative scramble happening in a sector called identity and access management, or IAM for short.
IAM.
Got it. Yeah, and specifically, a lot of this is circling around a platform called SailPoint.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for this deep dive is to basically decode exactly what this software actually is, why global corporations are, you know, essentially writing blank checks for professionals who know how to use it.
They really are.
Right. And we want to figure out how this might be the ultimate future-proof career path for you listening right now, whether you're a fresher straight out of college, an IT pro looking to pivot, or honestly, just someone who wants to understand how the digital locks on the world's most sensitive data actually function.
Yeah, to really understand that massive demand, we have to look at the sheer chaos of enterprise IT right now.
Chaos is a good word for it.
It really is. Because we aren't just talking about keeping hackers out with a firewall anymore. We are talking about managing the good guys.
Wait, managing the employees themselves.
Exactly. When you have an organization of thousands of people, humans are constantly moving around. They get hired, fired, promoted, demoted.
Frankfurt offices.
Right, or they go on temporary leave. Every single one of those events requires a microscopic change in digital access.
Which brings me to how I've been trying to visualize this whole thing. Initially, I thought of SailPoint as like a bouncer at a VIP club.
Okay, I see where you're going.
You know, like checking IDs at the door. But going through the research from SailPoint Masters, that feels way too simple. It's not just a guy with a clipboard at the front door.
No, not at all.
It's more like this massive automated transit network where the tracks are constantly shifting in real time based on exactly who is sitting in the train car.
That is a much, much better way to look at it because,
Literally.
you know, a bouncer just lets you into the building. But once you are inside an enterprise network, there are thousands of internal doors.
Right.
Let's look at a sprawling hospital network, for example.
Right.
You have a doctor who needs access to highly sensitive patient medical histories.
Makes sense.
But the catch is, she should only be able to see the files for the specific patients she is currently treating on that specific day.
Oh, wow. Not just the whole database.
Exactly. And meanwhile, you have billing departments that need the financial data, but they absolutely should not be seeing the medical diagnostics.
Okay, yeah. And if you rely on, you know, a human IT guy named Steve to manually update those permissions every time a doctor's shift ends.
Steve is going to make a mistake.
Steve's definitely going to mess that up.
Inevitably. And let's look at the real-world consequences of that human error. There are countless anonymized case studies in cybersecurity where, say, an employee transferred from human resources to marketing 3 years ago.
Okay.
Their account gets compromised by a phishing email. The attacker logs in expecting to find, you know, some marketing brochures, but because nobody ever bothered to revoke that employee's old HR permissions.
Oh no.
Yeah, the attacker suddenly has access to the social security numbers of the entire company.
Just because Steve forgot to uncheck the HR box 3 years ago.
Exactly. So SailPoint fundamentally exists to automate this. It handles what we call identity governance and automated provisioning. It takes the knowledge of exactly who someone is and applies it to exactly what they should be allowed to touch in real time.
So it's essentially taking the human error entirely out of who gets the keys to the castle.
That's the goal.
But that naturally leads me to a pretty big question here. This concept of identity management, it isn't brand new, right?
No, IAM has been around.
So why does this 2026 guide show such a massive, frantic spike in hiring right now? The research notes that organizations across banking, healthcare, telecom, cloud industries, they're all actively recruiting everywhere from the US and Canada to the UK, Australia, Europe.
It's a global push, yeah.
And they all point to this shift toward something they call a zero trust security model.
Yes, zero trust.
Now, I have to push back on this term a little bit. Zero trust sounds, well, incredibly pessimistic.
It does. It sounds awful.
Why is treating your own employees with a baseline of absolute paranoia suddenly the gold standard for global business?
What's fascinating here is that while it sounds like an HR nightmare on paper, zero trust isn't actually about human mistrust.
Okay.
It's a pure architectural necessity based on how networks actually work today. I mean, think about it. 10 or 15 years ago, a company had a physical office. You had a perimeter.
Physical building.
Right. If you swiped your badge, walked into the building, and plugged your laptop into the wall, the network trusted you because you were physically inside the moat.
Right. But the moat dried up. I mean, we all work from coffee shops now.
Exactly. The perimeter is completely gone. People are working from home, they're traveling, using personal phones, logging into cloud apps hosted on servers halfway across the world.
There's no inside the building anymore.
There isn't. And because of that, the architecture had to adapt. You can't just grant a free pass because someone typed in a password correctly at 8 a.m.
Because they could be anywhere.
Right. Zero trust means never trust. Always verify. Every single time you click a file, this system basically asks, are you still who you say you are? And do you have the specific right to open this specific file right now from that specific device?
Wow. So it's constantly authenticating the context of the request, not just checking the password once.
Precisely. Verifying every single access request is literally the only way a global organization can survive in a borderless landscape. And SailPoint is the engine that drives that continuous microscopic verification.
That makes a lot of sense.
And because setting up that level of complex verification at an enterprise scale is incredibly difficult, the companies that make this software have exploded in value. And the engineers who know how to run it, they are writing their own tickets.
Okay, that makes the explosion in jobs a lot more logical. The world decentralized, so the security had to become hyper-specific to the individual identity.
Exactly.
So let's say I'm a global bank, right? And I'm rushing to build this zero trust architecture. What actual software am I buying? Because the guide from SailPoint Masters outlines a very clear fork in the road for anyone entering this career.
Yes, there are two main paths.
Right. It says there are two distinct flavors of this platform. SailPoint Identity IQ, which they abbreviate as IIQ, and SailPoint Identity Now, or IDN.
And choosing which module to specialize in is honestly one of the most important decisions a professional in this space will make, because they operate on completely different philosophies.
How so?
Well, Identity IQ, or IIQ, is the enterprise on-premise solution. It is known for heavy, deep workflow customization, and it's really best for governance-heavy environments.
Okay.
Whereas Identity Now, IDN, is their cloud-based solution. That one is geared toward modern organizations using software as a service, or SaaS.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me, looking at the sources. The difference between these two feels a lot like real estate.
Oh, I like that. How do you mean?
Well, think about Identity IQ as building a massive custom fortress from scratch on your own land.
Okay, yeah.
You control every single brick. You dig the moat yourself. You design the exact patrol routes for the guards. It takes a ton of work to maintain, but you have absolute granular control over every single custom workflow.
That is a perfect analogy. And for some organizations, they legally have to build the fortress.
Like who?
Think about a multinational legacy bank, or maybe a defense contractor. They have incredibly strict data residency laws.
Oh, like where the data physically lives.
Right. They might have regulations stating that customer financial data literally cannot leave physical servers located within a specific country's borders.
So they can't just put it all in the cloud.
They absolutely cannot just upload everything to a public cloud. They need Identity IQ because they need a system that lives on their own hardware where developers can get in and write deep, highly customized rules for, you know, decades-old legacy applications.
Which brings us to the other option, Identity Now. If Identity IQ is the custom fortress, then Identity Now is like moving into a high-end, fully managed smart condo in the cloud.
Yes.
It's ultra-modern, it integrates perfectly with all your other smart devices, and someone else handles the plumbing and the infrastructure. You don't own the building, but you get to use the state-of-the-art elevators, and you just set the rules for who gets to ride them.
And that is exactly what, say, a five-year-old fintech startup or a modern telehealth company wants.
Because they don't want to build a moat.
Right. They don't have server rooms in a basement. Everything they do, their HR software, their email, their customer databases, it is all already rented in the cloud as SaaS.
So they want the smart condo.
Exactly. They are going to implement Identity Now because it connects to all those other cloud apps seamlessly.
Okay, so an organization's choice of software dictates exactly what kind of professional they hire. We've got companies setting up these complex fortresses and these high-tech cloud condos. Obviously, they need human architects to run them.
Right.
The guide details specific roles. But it throws a lot of jargon around.
It does. It can be intimidating.
Yeah, it lists roles like SailPoint developers, IAM analysts, Identity Now administrators, and identity governance consultants. But then it lists the skills required.
And that's where people usually panic.
I mean, I would, it says. Java basics, SQL databases, Active Directory, LDAP, API integrations. I'm going to play proxy for you, the listener, right now.
Go for it.
If I'm a fresher or I'm in a basic IT help desk role, looking at that list is terrifying. Do I need to be a master software engineer writing thousands of lines of code to get into this field?
Let's pause on that assumption right now because it stops a lot of really talented people from entering cybersecurity. You absolutely do not need to be a master programmer.
Okay, that's a relief.
The source material specifically breaks this down. Yes, if you choose the developer route for Identity IQ, the Fortress Builder, you will be using Java to write custom rules.
Okay, so coding is involved there.
Yes. But many of the administration, analyst, and consulting roles require minimal to zero heavy coding.
Okay, so if I'm not coding, what am I actually doing with things like Active Directory and APIs? We really need to translate this.
Let's break it down to basics. Think of Active Directory as the ultimate corporate phone book.
Okay.
It doesn't just list your name, it lists your department, your manager, and your security clearance level. When you try to log into an application, the network looks you up in this phone book.
And LDAP.
LDAP is simply the specific language or protocol the network uses to quickly search that phone book.
Okay, so the phone book is the source of truth for who people are.
Exactly. Now, what is an API? An API is just a digital bridge. It allows two completely different pieces of software to talk to each other.
Right.
So if you are an IAM analyst, your job isn't writing the software that makes the phone book. Your job is understanding the logic of how the bridge works.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's go back to our hospital scenario. Dr. Smith needs access to an MRI database. The SailPoint developer is the one who built the API bridge connecting SailPoint to the MRI database.
So they laid the bricks for the bridge.
Yes. But the IAM analyst is the one who configures the logic. They write the rule that says, if a user's title in the Active Directory phone book equals doctor and their status is active, grant them access to the MRI database.
Ah, that makes so much more sense. It's about analytical logic, not just syntax. You need to understand how data flows. You need to know enough SQL, which, I mean, is just a way to ask a database a question to understand how identities are structured as data points.
Yeah.
But you are governing the rules of the system. You're not building the engine from scratch.
Which is why people with backgrounds in compliance, auditing, or basic IT administration often excel in these roles.
Because they get the rules.
Right. If you understand access management logic like role-based access control, where you assign permissions to the role of nurse instead of the individual person, Sarah, so that when Sarah leaves, the permissions don't linger, you can thrive.
The specific clicks in the software can be learned.
Exactly. The analytical mindset to foresee security gaps is the actual superpower here.
That is a huge relief for anyone wanting to pivot into cyber without, you know, spending 4 years learning to code.
Absolutely.
Let's shift gears to the tangible payoff, the geography, the training, and the salaries, because this is where the source material is uniquely fascinating. It originates from SailPoint Masters in Hyderabad, India.
Yes.
And the guide highlights Hyderabad as a major global hub for IT and cybersecurity in 2026.
The concentration of global cybersecurity operations there is just staggering.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Multinational corporations simply cannot find enough local talent in places like New York, London, or Toronto to manage these incredibly complex identity systems.
So they look elsewhere.
Exactly. So they have established massive security operations centers in Hyderabad, and they are aggressively hiring trained professionals to monitor and govern their global networks.
And the specific details in this guide really ground that reality. It talks about getting hands-on training and real-time project experience at SailPoint Masters.
Yeah, practical experience is key.
And they even pinpoint their exact location for local students. Metro Pillar number A689, near the JNTU metro station, on the third floor of the Dr. Atmaram Estates in Hydernagar, Hyderabad. They even provide their contact, brolyacademy@gmail.com. But let's talk about the numbers they advertise, because the salary bands are really eye-opening. Now, for anyone tuning in from outside of India, the guide uses LPA, which stands for lakhs per annum.
Right. Let's contextualize those numbers for the global listener because the
Right.
growth curve is what really matters here.
Right. So for a fresher, someone brand new to the industry, the estimated starting salary is 4 to 7 LPA.
A solid start.
But with just 2 to 5 years of experience, that doubles to 8 to 15 LPA.
Oh.
And for experienced professionals with 5 or more years, it rockets up to 18 to 30 plus LPA.
It's a huge jump.
Why such a massive premium on just 5 years of experience?
Because at 5 years, a company isn't just paying for your ability to click buttons in a software interface. They are paying for your institutional battle scars.
Battle scars, I like that.
It's true. A professional with 5 years of experience in SailPoint has likely survived a massive corporate merger where two different companies had to merge their entire IT networks without causing a breach.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
They have seen systems break. They have experience handling high-stress audits. In the Indian market, reaching that 30-plus LPA tier represents a life-changing premium. And it exists because global companies are more than willing to pay it to offset the risk of a $50 million data breach.
That brings up a wild realization about the hyperlocalization of global tech.
How so?
Just think about the reality of this infrastructure. You have a student who walks out of the metro station in Hydernagar, goes up to the third floor, gets their hands-on certification, and suddenly they have the capability to plug directly into the nervous system of a telecom giant in Canada or a defense contractor in Europe.
It's incredible.
They're sitting in a room in Hyderabad, but their hands are on the digital steering wheel of a corporation on the other side of the planet.
It perfectly illustrates that cybersecurity has absolutely no borders. The guide points out that these skills are in massive demand in the US, the UK, Australia, and Canada.
So you're not locked into one region.
Not at all. Whether these jobs are remote or whether they serve as a ticket for international relocation, the skill set is universally tradable.
Because every big company uses it.
Yes. An investment in a specialized certification fundamentally transforms a local worker into a globally demanded asset. The certification proves you don't just know the theory of zero trust. It proves you can operate the machinery that enforces it.
So, what does this all mean for you listening right now? To summarize the incredible trajectory we've explored today, SailPoint in 2026 is not just a line item on an IT budget.
Definitely not.
No, it is the invisible digital infrastructure keeping the modern, remote, decentralized world functioning. As the traditional office moat completely dries up, companies are rigorously verifying every single identity every single second.
The verify everything approach.
Exactly. And the people who know how to architect and manage those identities, the ones who can ensure the right people get the right access while keeping the wrong people out, they are becoming the most valuable players on the board.
They really are.
It offers a lucrative, stable, and highly future-proof career path that spans the globe, regardless of whether you want to build the custom fortress or manage the cloud condo.
And you know, as we wrap up this exploration of IAM and the mechanics of digital access, there is a broader implication to consider here.
Okay, what's that?
We are moving into a world where every single click, every file opened, and every digital movement is governed by highly complex algorithms, zero trust architectures, and dedicated engineers monitoring our access.
Right.
It raises a pretty provocative question for you to ponder long after this deep dive ends. If our digital identities are becoming our most strictly protected and monitored assets, will there come a day when our digital access profiles?
Like our history of permissions.
Yes, the accumulator history of the permissions we hold, the systems we are trusted with, and the data we are allowed to see, will that define our professional worth and our reputation even more than our actual resumes?
Oh, wow. That is a fascinating thought.
It's something to think about.
Are we eventually just going to be measured by the sum of the digital rooms we're allowed into? We will leave you to ponder that one. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden engine of the tech economy. Until next time, keep exploring.